This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, US Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Waverly Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't think low 90s is where anybody's going to be concerned. Just an interesting thing to point out. Did Tim Beckham get him again? Tim Beckham got him again!
If you compare it to the first start last year, velocity-wise, he hit a few 94, but, you know, last year it wasn't 97, 98 either. I do think he tried to go to certain spots and he didn't get it there. Like I said, you know, it wasn't a good one. We have to turn the page. He'll be ready for the next one.
No, I felt fine. I've done this enough. I should be able to go out there and get it done with no matter how many starts I have, what kind of stuff I have that day. You know, I expect a lot out of myself and a lot better than that.
See, now I know what you're thinking. I know what you were thinking last night. I got an email, in fact, from a listener, this guy named Jim, right out of the gate. The subject line of his email says, "How convenient for you that the Sox lost their first game." And then he writes, "I can picture you dropping your shorts at this news." Quote, "I can be negative about this team right off the bat." Felger has switched places with you. He used to be the a-hole. Now he's the positive one. That's from Jim.
Facilitator.
Yeah. But I'm not going to do that. I'm actually not going to do that because you might be surprised. So here's what we're going to do on the Baseball Reporters tonight. We only have a half-hour program. We'll take up till 6:30, and then Celtics pregame will take over and take it right up to Celtics Pacers at 7 o'clock. Obviously, Sean Grandy and Max. So we'll open up the phones right away, 617-779. No, is that right? 779-0985?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Good heavens. 617.
Stroke over there. You're smelling burnt eggs or whatever it is. Toast.
Seriously, though. 617-779-0985. We're going to start with Chris Sale. So I've heard a lot of different commentary about Chris Sale today and, you know, read some different things. And the natural thing last night was to watch that game, watch Chris Sale get his ass kicked. And by the way, I'm going to put that Chris Sale start into some level of historical context for you during the next, you know, 25 minutes. But the easy thing to do, and the logical thing to do, was to watch that start last night and go, oh, my God, they have him for five more years after this. They just gave him a new contract. 5 years, $145 million, $29 million a year, and is this what he's going to be? That was a natural reaction, and I'm not telling you wrong to feel that way, because that thought crossed everybody's mind last night. And is this what his shoulder is now? Is he hurt? Sale was asked after the game if he's hurt. He said he's fine. So all of that stuff poured out right there on the mound last night in Seattle at T-Mobile Stadium as Chris Sale's going out there and getting his ass kicked in the season opener. And so the question of, is he hurt? Is this now what he is? I'm not ready to go there yet, but I'll tell you where I am ready to go. Sale's average velocity last night was 93 miles an hour. And Jimmy Stewart, if we could pull just the core cut on his velocity, I want to play that part of it again. Okay, his velocity last night was 93 miles an hour on his four-seam fastball. The average velocity he had on his four-seam fastball in April of last year was 94. And there really isn't much of a difference. And so to me, this doesn't get down to, is Chris Sale hurt? And as a result, is he going to be throwing 93, 94 for the rest of his Red Sox career? I'm not really worried about that yet. But what I am worried about is Sale's ability to pitch at his peak level and also pitch late into the year. Some guys can't do both. They just can't. They're either built to last and they can give you 220 innings and they'll win 13 games like Rick Porcello, or they will pitch at a very high level, but they're not built to last like Pedro Martinez. Okay, so oftentimes you fall into one of those two areas or classifications. So as it pertains to Sale, Alex Cora, again, and this was part of the montage that Jimmy Stewart played for you coming back or coming right out of the show open. Alex Cora said this about Sale's velocity last
year. If you compare it to the first start last year, velocity-wise, he hit a few 94, but, you know, last year wasn't 97, 98 either. I do think he tried to go to certain spots and he didn't get it there. Like I said, you know, it wasn't a good one. We have to turn the page. He'll be ready for the next one.
Okay, last year wasn't 97, 98 either, and you know what? Cora's telling the truth. I looked it up. I looked it up. And here's what I found. That in the middle of the year, after, let's see, it would have been 13 starts, the Red Sox were 7-6 when Chris Sale pitched. He was 5-3 with a 3.00 ERA. And his average velocity was basically around 94 miles an hour for the first 2 months. Basically. Okay, obviously some games it differed a little. But overall, and this is the data on BrooksBaseball.net, which is a good site for, that you can explore different kind of pitches and what the average velocities are. It's been out there a long time if you don't know about it. But in any case, you look at all of that and you say, no, you know what? The Red Sox went into last year with the exact same plan that they have this year. They slowed Sale down in spring training. They told him out of the gate, don't come out throwing 94, 95, 96, rather 96, 97 miles an hour. We'd rather have you pitching at 93, 94 because we think you're good enough to win at that. And then later in the year when we need you, you're going to be there. Okay, you're going to be there. We just don't want you pitching at 96, 97 out of the gate because why waste those bullets? So Sale did it for the first couple of months of last year and he did it reasonably well. Then he had a start against the Astros on June 1st, where he went 6 innings and gave up 4 runs. The Red Sox lost the game 7-3, and Sale didn't pitch well. And you know what Sale said after that? Screw this. I can't pitch this way, especially against good teams, and be the guy I want to be. So then he started airing it out. And over the next 2 months, I think he went, or month and a half, 6-1 with an ERA of 0.75 and 14.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He was dominant. He was awesome. He got the start in the All-Star game. All of those things. And then you know what happened? He got hurt. And he was never the same guy the rest of the year. So this is the balance now with Sale that the Red Sox are facing. And you're not going to get a guy who was as bad as last night on a regular basis. Again, I'll give you some historical context on that in a minute. But if you want Sale to dial it down, if you think he's one of these guys that can pitch at something less than max output, if you think he's one of those guys, I'd love to hear from you tonight. 617-779-0985. I'm not sure Chris Sale can pitch the way the Red Sox want him to pitch. And A, be the guy they want him to be, or B, be happy about it. And the second thing might be more important. I don't think Sale wants to pitch like that. It's not who he is. Doesn't Sale Murray strike you as the kind of guy who would say, you know what, screw this. I'm going to air it out. If it blows out, it blows out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fearless in that way, right? Like, there are guys that think that way. I'm going to pitch the way I pitch. Everyone else be damned because this is who I am. If it blows out, it blows out. I can totally see him saying that. And the problem is that's not what serves the Red Sox now, especially if they have him signed to a 5-year extension for $145 million.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, it's part of what you've been saying here, too, is what I look at last night, and some of it was bad. That third inning was atrocious. I mean, he's serving up meatball after meatball to like 3 or 4 hitters in a row. But I do wonder if, on behalf of the pitching staff, or maybe it was Alex Cora, they said, hey, at least in this first start, or maybe for the first month, like, dial it back a little bit. We got to preserve you for the whole entire season here.
Oh, I think that's exactly what they did. And if you remember, if you were to go back to game one last year against the Yankees, we all said, I don't know if Sale has pitched enough in September to be sharp. We're going to have to see what this looks like. We have no idea what we're going to get. You know what happened? Sale was up in the strike zone. Actually, I think he was a little bit better than we thought. Maybe it was the Houston series I'm thinking about. But one of those two. Up in the strike zone, all over the plate, didn't have the bite on the slider. Like, there was no consistency at all. It was pin the tail on the donkey. That's what last night was. He really was. I mean, it was as bad as I've seen Sale in a Red Sox uniform. And I'm really not worried that that's who he is going forward. I just think that my concern is that he can't pitch that way, which means he has to throw harder. He's got to air it out. And that means he's not going to be able to get through the year. I'll give you the historical context of that outing here in a second. But Brandon's in Lowell. Brandon, go.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Guys, just have a couple quick questions for you, then I'll hang up. So, Maz, you said it earlier, Chris Sale got hurt. Do we have like a definitive answer of what actually happened? Was it shoulder, elbow? Was he just tired? And is this going to be him moving forward through the next 5 years? And this might be kind of stupid, but...
Okay, so Brandon, stop there because I can't have you throw that much at me, and I will tell you that I already answered the second thing, which is I don't think this is what he's going to be for the next 5-6 years, and it's really 6 years if you count this one. I don't think this is what he's going to be. I think that that was him pacing himself. Okay, I think Sale can still get to 96, 97. I don't think that at all. So, but in terms of what the injury was, I think it was John Henry or someone, maybe, I know it wasn't Cora. It might have been Dombrowski, but I think it was John Henry who indicated at one point last year that Sale had bursitis in his shoulder. Whatever it was, it didn't require surgery, and Henry told us in spring training it was minor. Okay, so I think the velocity is still there. The question again comes to whether or not, you know, this idea that Pedro Martinez at his end of his career could still be effective because he didn't need the velocity to pitch well. Well, it was true, but he also wasn't as effective and overpowering. He was a different kind of pitcher. And if Sale is a number three starter, I'm not sure I want to pay him $29 million, but I don't think that that's what this is here. I think that he can still air it out. They just don't want him to. Kenny's in Reading. Kenny, go.
Hey, so, man, I agree with you. They did pay him way too early. Someone who can't give you that kind of heat that he wants to give you and can't give you championship innings, I think he should go to the bullpen.
So, Kenny, I'm not putting him in the bullpen. I'll tell you what I would do if I'm the Red Sox, though. I would tell him, well, try to find a little more. You know, maybe you dialed it back a little bit too much last night. But what I would tell him is this. Look, no matter what, we're going to give you a month off in the middle of the year. We're shutting you down in the middle of the year. So you are going to pitch April, May, and June. And then right before the All-Star break, we're going to put you on the DL. We're going to come up with a phantom injury. They used to do this with Pedro. Hell, they used to do it with Lester almost. Although with Lester, they didn't put him on the DL. They just built a long rest. With Sale, we're going to put you on the DL. You get 2 weeks going into the All-Star break. Then you get the break. You get a week coming out. So you get 3.5 weeks off, and we're going to start you up again at the end of July. And then come October, hopefully you'll have all the velocity on your fastball. And because the way they're doing it now is not working. It didn't work for them last year. It didn't work last night, and I'm not willing to say that that is the metric that will now determine how the rest of April and May go. But I don't think Sale can be a 220-inning guy in a dominant pitcher in October. I don't think he can be both of those. I just don't think it's physically possible for him, and it's not that part of it's not his fault. The question is how you manage it. As for how bad that outing was last night, we'll give you the particulars on that next.
We have the Sox color socks covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big Y matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Very limited history in tonight's game. Yusei Kikuchi, am I pronouncing that right, Murray? Is it Kikuchi?
Yep, Yusei Kikuchi.
Left-hander for the Mariners, has no history against the Red Sox. Is this his major league debut?
No, I think he already pitched last week, I believe.
Oh, the Oakland series.
Yeah,
Second game of the Oakland series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of buzz for this kid, though, from stuff I've been reading from like national writers.
Yeah, so he's 27 years old. I mean, I'm always eager to see new guys, but there's no history with the Red Sox. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound for the Red Sox tonight. His numbers against this Seattle roster overall are pretty good: 244 average, 652. But Tim Beckham, 3-for-7, and Beckham's hot. I mean, obviously, two home runs last night, and I said this to these guys earlier. Beckham is your classic MLB role player. Who's got good talent. He's a great bench guy if you had him on your team in terms of ability. But when you play him for any extended period of time, and when I say extended, you can give him a month, he'll be good. Maybe even a month and a half.
So he's like Seattle Brock Holt.
Right. But once you go past that, then you get diminishing returns. So, but he's got great raw ability. No two ways about it. You know, so he's a guy to keep an eye on for Evaldi tonight. And, you know, Nathan Evaldi's debut after the Heroics of last October, even if they're on the road, is certainly a reason to watch the game. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your phones here in just 1 second. I said I want to put last night's performance by Sale into some sort of historical context. So let me tell you this point blank. It was the worst start of his Red Sox existence. Honestly, it's close. Only one other really gets close. Three innings, seven runs, all earned. All earned. Sale has only had one other outing with the Red Sox in which he went three innings and allowed seven runs, but only six of them were earned. And that was against Cleveland 2 years ago in late August. Okay, so this is that whole argument again. That one made sense. You get him late in the year, he's fading, he gets hammered, he doesn't have the same stuff. Last night in the opener, seven earned runs for the first time in his Red Sox career. The worst outing, statistically, that Chris Sale has ever had with the Red Sox. Even in the playoffs last year, in the LCS and the World Series, combined two starts, Sale pitched eight innings. He only gave up five runs. He walked a ton of guys. He was all over the place. But he didn't give up a lot of runs. Last night, he hurt them, and he hurt them badly. We'll get back to your calls here. Ralph is in Cranston. Ralph, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. First of all, I agree with you with Sale. I think Sale, certainly to be worth the money and to be effective, has to throw the ball 97, 98 miles an hour. He's a Randy Johnson clone. But I also think that his agent, give his agent an A-plus, because I don't think his agent is totally confident that this guy's completely healthy. Or you wouldn't have done this. If you thought he was the Sale of old, you would have held out. You would have got another $7,500 million on a long-term contract with him, especially, Tony, that I...
Ralph,
totally
I disagree. That I disagree.
Bogaerts is gone, too. I want to see what you think of that. Kay. You're not going to re-sign Bogaerts.
Okay, so I'm going to stick to Sale tonight. We got plenty of time to talk about Bogaerts all year. I disagree with you on the second point that his agent knew he was hurt. I don't think that was it. I think Sale wanted to stay in Boston. I do. And call me an idiot for believing this and taking the cheese, but look how many guys you saw sign extensions this spring who are already with teams. Nolan Arenado, Jacob deGrom, Aaron Nola, Luis Severino, Chris Sale. And you know what the bottom line is? The free agent market's not what it used to be. Chris Gasper of the Globe pointed this out to me. It's a great story on ESPN by Jeff Passan outlining why more guys are taking extensions now, and it's because the free agent market sucks. And this is the way the owners want it, by the way. I don't think that was it. Now, that said, and Murray's with me on this, I said that the Red Sox should have waited till the end of the year. I'd have been happy paying 6 years and call it, I don't know, you know, add on another $30 million to what they gave him. 6 years and 175 after the season. 6 years and 180, $30 million a year. I'd have been happy doing that. Because to wait and see if he were completely healthy, and that's going to be a thing that we look at all year long.
It just, the timing of it just felt unnecessary. Like, look, I still want them to sign Chris Sale, and I'm not going to completely freak out about last night. But I don't know how you look at that if you thought like how you and I did and just say, hey, wait to sign him till after the year and not feel like a little concerned.
Yeah, so it would have cost you more after the year. How much more? Another $30 million? Like, big deal.
Right. This, you might the Red Sox, you can afford it.
Right. Had you not signed him, you might have saved yourself $145. Kevin's in Nashville. Kevin, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm usually not one to press the panic button, but this one certainly seems like it for a couple reasons. First off, he's ultra competitive. So if he gets shelved, let's call it two more times in a row, he's going back to his old ways. He's going to start gunning 98 miles an hour, no doubt about it.
I agree.
And I also just read something recently about Kershaw that a Red Sox player mentioned that they didn't care if he was throwing a slider or a fastball because it all felt the same. This could very well happen with Chris Sale. If his velocity is going down, now his slider's not as good. Now his other pieces aren't as good. And now that raises a huge concern. Now we just signed him 5 years. He's already got his money. He's going back to his old ways.
So, Kevin, I think so, too. And I look, Jessica Mendoza made that second point during the game last night, and she's right. When you're not throwing 96 or 97, you don't have to gear up. Now you can wait a little bit longer for the slider, and you can time it a little bit better. So all of that in play. I mean, I thought excellent call. To me, your observations are excellent call because your observations are in line with mine. How do you like that one? Chris in a car wants to touch on something that I also think is valid. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, Tony. Listen, I just think it's they're still in spring training mode. That's just my point. That's my take. And hopefully I don't get blown up. No, that's my take, Tony. Thanks.
No, listen, you're not going to get blown up because I said this last night. I think they're going to get off to a slow start. I don't think there's any question the Red Sox are going to get off to a slow start. So their starting pitchers are behind everyone else's. Sale was proof last night. Evaldi might be a little bit different. We'll see what happens there. And I just think the whole sort of post-World Series, you know, they didn't have a great spring in terms of wins and losses. It all feels to me like the Red Sox are going to have some difficulty here early in the year. I told you, I think they're coming back from the West Coast with a losing record. In all my years around the Red Sox, I can't remember a year where they opened out West or even in Texas or Kansas City in the Central. I can't remember a year there where they opened up in a different time zone and came home with a good trip. I just think it's a hard way to start the year on the road out West after you've been in spring training for 2 months or 6 weeks. As I mentioned earlier, Celtics and Indiana Pacers coming up tonight on 98.5. The Sports have a big game for the Celtics as it relates to the Eastern Conference playoffs and home court advantage in the first round. Celtics pregame is next. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, they'll take you right up to tip-off, 7 o'clock. We'll see you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.